Welcome to the shiur on this week's Parsha, Parsha's Toldos. Today's topic is, why did Yitzchak Avinu choose to give the brachas to Esav? Firstly, I would like to dedicate this shiur for Refuah Shlema for Moshe Yitzchak Ben Serel, B'soch Shorcho Yisrael. The question is an obvious question when you learn the Parsha, and we know that Esav is the epitome of Esav a Rasha, and yet Yitzchok, for some reason, chose to give the brachas to Esav and not to Yaakov. I mean, it's very peculiar, and it's something that if you learn the Parsha seriously, you need to look at and try and figure out why. You know, there's got, obviously, the Torah relates these incidents because these are very, very important incidents for us to learn from, and what are we supposed to take away from this? How are we supposed to understand why Yitzchak chose Esav over Yaakov when it came to the brachas? So, the truth is, I came across about half a dozen different approaches to this. I doubt we'll be able to get through all of them. I'd like to start with just a couple, and if we have time towards the end, I might just mention a few of the other ideas just to give you some food for thought. But the first approach that I would like to address is, on a simplistic level, on a pshat level, did Yitzchak really know how bad Esav was? Did he know Esav was a rusher, or was he fooled? Was he taken in by Esav's trying to make himself look like something he wasn't? So what I wanted to do is, and I made copies of relevant psukim in the parsha, is to go through the relevant psukim and see, just from looking at the psukim and from Rashi, simple pshat, to see whether we can come to any kind of conclusion as to whether Yitzchak in fact knew what Esav was all about, or was he actually taken in and fooled by Esav. I think that's the first approach, because on a simplistic level, we could just simply say that if Yitzchak was taken in by Esav and thought that Esav was a tzaddikal and thought that he was a wonderful child, then Esav was the Bechor. Esav was the firstborn. So, you know, on a simple level, if we can come to some kind of clarity on that, maybe that's why he chose Esav to give the bracha. So let's go through the psukim. We start in the beginning of the parsha when Rivka is pregnant, not knowing she has twins, and she sees this inner battle, and she doesn't understand what's going on. Rashi explains the reason why she was really troubled is because when she passed by the house of an Avodah Zorah, it seemed like the baby wanted to rush out to go. And then when she passed by a holy place of service, a Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, the child wanted to run out. So she couldn't understand how could one child want to go in both directions, two opposite directions. So she was consoled, or she actually went to the Beis HaMedrash of Shem Ve'Ever, as Rashi tells us, and she got a information that appeased her, benevuah. She got a nevuah that basically there are two children that she's carrying twins, and they're going to be very, very different, they're going to be opposites, and she had a nevuah, v'rav yavo tzoyer, that the eldest one will serve the youngest one, and that's why we'll see later in the parsha why Rivka, despite the fact that Yitzchak wanted to go ahead and give the brachas to Esav, Rivka switched it because she had this nevuah of Arav Yavotzar, so she knew that Yaakov is the one that rightfully should get the brachas. Now, why Rivka knew that and Yitzchak didn't is also something we will touch on as we go through the parsha. So the first Rashi that I already mentioned, I'm not going to go through each piece inside, just mentions this midrash that Rashi is referring to, that this inner battle that was going on was the fact that Esav was running to go to Avodah Zorah. So you see that even at before he was born, even as a fetus, even as a little baby in his mother's womb, Esav had a tendency to go after Avodah Zorah. So you see from the start, he wasn't off to a very good start. That's the first Marah Makom. The second, and I think this really opens up the whole discussion, if you go to the second page, it says, Vayehav Pasuk Chav Ches, Perik Chav Hei Pasuk Chav Ches. It says, Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav, that Yitzchak loved Esav, Kitzayid Befiv. Now, Kitzayid Befiv, I think, is basically the key to understanding this whole parsha. And if you look in Rashi, Chav Ches, on the bottom, Rashi says two pshatim. First pshat is kitargumai. When it says kitzayid bifiv, tzayid means, could mean food, tzeda, or tzayid means to capture. Tzeda also means to capture. And the reason why food is called tzeda is because that's how you ate. You hunted, you captured something, and then you were able to eat. So the question here is, when it says kitzayid bifiv, it says Yitzchak loved Esav kitzayid bifiv, because there was tzayid in his mouth. Fiv, whose mouth? Are we talking about Yitzchak's mouth? Or are we talking about Esav's mouth? Because the Torah says both in the introduction. Yitzchak loved Esav kitzayid bifiv. So the first pshat of Rashi is kitargumai bifiv shel Yitzchak, that the tzayid bifiv here is food in the mouth of Yitzchak. In other words, Yitzchak loved Esav because Esav looked out for him. Esav took care of him. Esav provided him with his food, his sustenance, and Esav epitomized kibud av v'em, as we know. And therefore, for that reason, kitzayid bifiv, bifiv shel Yitzchak, because he was provided with this food, that's why Yitzchak loved Esav. So that's the first pshat. Then Rashi says, umedrashai, and the Medrash tells us, bifiv shel Esav, that the fiv over here, the mouth, is referring to the mouth of Esav. That the reason why Yitzchak loved Esav is because Esav used his mouth to convince and fool Yitzchak into believing that he was a lot better, that he was a tzaddik when he really wasn't. Bifiv shel Esav, shehu yitzad, also, he would captivate him, he would capture him, umarameyu bidvarav, and he would trick him by making himself out to look that which he wasn't. And if you look in the Targum, I underlined it, you'll see both of these are reflected, both of these pshatim are reflected in the Targum. And if you look in Unkelus, which is what Rashi quotes, says, mitzide havi ochel, that tzayid befiv means that Yitzchak ate tzayid, he ate food that Esav provided him with. If you look on the Yonis and Ben Uziel, on the left-hand side, he quotes the Medrash, which is very often what Yonasan ben Aziel does. He quotes Midrashim. He says, Mile Ramyusa Befume. There was trickery in his mouth, meaning that Esav fooled Yitzchak. So here we have, at the opening of the Parsha, we know that Yitzchak loved Esav. Question is why? According to the second Pshat, the Medrash and the Targum Yonasan, it seems that Yitzchak was really taken in and fooled by Esav. Let's go on. I have underlined a lot of different sources. We're not going to go through each and every one, but you're welcome to go through it afterwards. Next page, in Pasuk Lamed, when Esav comes in, all starving and ready to drop and asking for some food, it says that Yaakov was preparing Nizid Adashim. And Esav asks for some of this red stuff, lentils, beans. Rashi tells us in Medrash, what was Yaakov doing preparing over here? This was the day that Avram Avinu had passed away. And he was basically preparing food for the Avelim. And the reason why Avram passed away 5 years earlier than he should have, Rashi tells us, because Yitzchak lived to be 180 years old. And Avram only lived to be 175 years old. So Rashi quotes a Medrash that he was taken away 5 years earlier because Hashem didn't want Avram to have the Agmas Nefesh, to have the aggravation of seeing Esav go off the Derech. So while until now it could have been maybe not obvious that Esav was going on the wrong path, apparently at this point in time it would have become obvious, and that's why Hashem had taken Avram Avinu away 5 years before he was supposed to. So we see over here that it's possible that until now it wasn't obvious, so maybe Yitzchak did not see it. But at this point, apparently, Esav is becoming a little bit more public with his actions. Then we move on, which is a little towards the end of the Parsha, and this is the introduction to the Brachos. The beginning of Perek Chav Zayin, it says that Yitzchak became Zaken Yitzchak, he became older, Vatichena Einav, and his eyesight started dimming, weakening. And so he calls his eldest son, and he wants to give him the brachos. Now, right before that, it says, the pasuk says, it's cut off, it says that Esav married women who were, according to the rabbis, served avodah zarah, did idol worship. And the connection between the pasuk above, it says, Moras Ruach LeYitzchak LeRivka, the Yitzchak and Rivka had Moras Ruach, which is a rebellion of spirit and aggravation from the wives of Esav, is because they served Avodah Zarah. As a matter of fact, the reason why there's a smichus of that comment to the fact that Yitzchak's eyesight waned, dimmed, is because the rabbis tell us that the smoke of the incense that the wives of Esav had generated from serving the Avodah Zarah went into the eyes of Yitzchak, and that's what caused him to lose his eyesight. That's what Rashi says. So you see that Esav chose women as wives who were Oved Avodah Zarah. And according to Rashi, it seems that that even impacted his eyesight. So it's hard to imagine that Yitzchak did not realize at this point that Esav chose such women as wives and allowed them to be Oved Avodah Zarah, that he didn't realize that Esav was not such a tzaddikol, as we said earlier. Then, in Pasuk Gimel, when he asks Esav to go and bring him some food so that he can be in a good mood to give him the brachas, so Rashi tells us, it says, Sana, Pasuk Gimel, Sana. Rashi says the word sa is a lashon of hashchaza. Hashchaza means to sharpen the knife. Rashi quotes a medrash that says that he was warning him, he was admonishing him that he should make sure that the knife is sharp, so that when he shechts the animal, when he sacrifices and slaughters the animal to give him to eat from, that it shouldn't be a pasul shechita, it should be a good shechita. Now, if this was somebody who he thought was a tzaddik, why would he have to be concerned that he would go out and use a knife that is not roy for shechita, and then come and serve him something that was nevela? Obviously, he was suspect, according to what Rashi tells us over here. If you go to the next page, Rashi quotes again. He says, "Vitzudalit Sayid, go capture for me something to eat." So Rashi says, "Vitzuda li." What's the word li coming into play here? Why does it say li? It should say "Vitzuda Sayid, go and capture some food for me to eat." So Rashi says, "Minahefker v'lo minagezel." Li meaning it's for me. It should be something that's not coming from hefker. It should be something that we have a right to eat from. That's what the word li is coming to tell you. So here he was choshirim of not being careful with shechita. He was choshirim of, if he wouldn't instruct him otherwise, of going to get something that didn't belong to him from gezel. So it's hard to imagine that he thought that he was a tzaddik. And then, so that begs the question, why did he want to give him the brachas? And then when Yaakov comes in for the brachos, dressed as Esav, if you go to the next page, it says that one of the things that threw Yitzchak off was the way that Yaakov spoke. It was very different than the way Esav spoke, because Yaakov Avinu mentioned Hashem's name. When Yitzchak asked, how is it that you were able to come back so quickly, in Pasuk Chaf, he says, Ki hikra Hashem elekecha lefanei, because Hashem made it happen. So he mentioned Hashem's name. As soon as Yitzchak hears that, he says, one second, Esav doesn't mention Hashem's name ever. So something's not right here. Rashi says, Amar Yitzchak belibo, ein derech Esav lios shem shemayim shago b'fiv. It's not the way of Esav to mention Hashem's name. So from all these things, it appears that Yitzchak should have known, or did know, who Esav really was. Okay, there are other marimekomos, but it seems from Rashi, okay, let's just go back to our question that we posed, is it possible that Yitzchak didn't know who Esav really was? It seems from Rashi that Rashi learned that Yitzchak was suspect of Esav, and Yitzchak therefore warned him to be very careful in how he goes about to bring him the food before he blesses him. However, it is possible to understand that really Yitzchak did not know fully who Esav was. The reason why he admonished him to be careful is because Esav, as we mentioned before, was very, very diligent when it came to Kibbutz Av Ve'Em. That's number one. Number two, he was also very excited about getting the brachas. So therefore, it was only at this moment that Yitzchak had a concern. Otherwise, he would not be concerned. He says, I know that you're very much concerned with Kibbutz Av Ve'Em, and I know that you're excited that I'm giving you the brachas, but know that if you are a little bit too eager and you do something wrong, then it won't work. The brachas will not work, because if I'm given something to eat that has some kind of a connection with anything that's not appropriate, then Hashem will not use me as a channel to give you the brachas. So therefore, he was telling him, if anything, now you should be extra careful. Not that he didn't trust him. He normally did trust him. But in this particular case, because he had a motivation and incentive and an eagerness to want to do it quickly so he can get the brachas, he told him to be very careful, because if you're not, the brachas won't work. So it could very well be that all of the things that Rashi mentions were just simply Yitzchak being extra cautious. It didn't mean that Yitzchak didn't trust Esav, because truthfully, Kitzayid Befiv, as we said before, this wasn't the first time that Yitzchak asked Esav to bring him food. Esav was in the habit of preparing for him constantly. So if he accepted his food before, why was he all of a sudden concerned now? And so this, what I'm telling you, is really what the Maharal says. Maharal says that even though it seems that Yitzchak suspected Esav, but it doesn't necessarily mean that he knew Esav was a Rush. It just means he wanted it to be exactly right. Now, if you look at the Sephorno, it's actually in the handouts on page 5. Which is Perek Chav Zayin Pasuk Zayin. So the Sephorno sort of takes the middle ground. He says, I'll read you inside what he says, Kigam Shelo Hikir Begodo Risha Shel Esav. Even though apparently he learns that Yitzchak did not fully realize the rishus of Esav, Mikol Mokom Lechoshev Oso L'Ro'i. He didn't consider him that ro'i, he didn't consider him that worthy, Shetochol Olav Oso HaBracha Shehayo Bilei B'Levarcha, that he should be worthy of the bracha that he had in mind to give him. U'lekach, and therefore, Kishabirich Yaakov Achakach, when he blessed Yaakov, because he knew Yaakov was Roy LeBracha. Basically, the reason why, Sforna says, the reason why Yitzchak asked Esav to go get him food is because he didn't feel that Esav was worthy of the bracha. So he wanted him to do something, to do a special mitzvah that would make him worthy. So you see that Sforna learns that he realized that Esav was nothing like Yaakov, and that Yaakov was a true tzaddik and Esav was not. But he didn't realize the full extent of the wickedness of Esav. So the Sforno sort of takes the middle ground. He realized that Esav was not like Yaakov, but he didn't think that Esav was a complete Rasha. And if you look at the second page of the handout, when it says, Vayehav Yitzchak as Esav, this Sforno is consistent, and he says the following. He says, when it says that Yitzchak loved Esav, he says, Gam es Esav. He loved Esav also. Of course he loved Yaakov. There's no question about that. There's no need for the Torah to tell us that he loved Yaakov. But he even loved Esav. Afal pisha yoda, b'li safik, shaloi hoya shalom ki Yaakov. Even though he knew without a doubt that Esav was nothing like Yaakov. So we're faced with the possibility that Yitzchak was taken in, but it's hard to believe that Yitzchak didn't realize that Esav was not like Yaakov. Clearly, Yitzchak knew Esav may not have been at the same level as Yaakov, but nevertheless, because he was the Bechor, and because Yitzchak did not think he was a Rosh at the time, so therefore he decided to give him the bracha. So that would be the simple approach, that it is possible to go through the parsha and assume that Yitzchak like the Sforna says, knew that Esav was no Yaakov, but nevertheless, he didn't think he was a Rasha, and all of the admonishments and all of the warnings that he gave him later in the Parsha was just to be 100% sure that everything was okay because he wanted the bracha to work. So that would be the first approach, that basically Esav was the Bechor. Yitzchak did not suspect him of being a true Rasha. He realized he wasn't a Yaakov Avinu, but nevertheless, because he was the Bechor, he should get the brachas. That's the first approach. The second approach is in the Or HaChaim, which if you turn the pages is page 4. The Or HaChaim is very brief, so we'll learn it inside, but it's a very powerful Or HaChaim, and there's a very important lesson here. So in the beginning of Perek Chav Zayin, it says Yitzchak calls his eldest son to give him the brachas. It says Vayikras Esav beno hagadol. He calls him his eldest son. So says Or HaChaim that the Torah is telling us why. The Torah is trying to explain to us why he chose to give the brachas to Esav. Nesinas tam. Lama lo karli Yaakov. The Torah is telling us the reason why he is not calling on Yaakov, but rather Esav. Kizeh abechor, because he was the Bechor. Very simple. And then the Or HaChaim adds, V'tam Yitzchak, shehoi yechorvetz levorach Esav harasha. And the reason why Yitzchak wanted to bless Esav harasha. Now, this Or HaChaim is perplexing, because he just told us the reason. He told us the reason. The reason is because he was the Bechor. Nevertheless, he's now continuing and saying that the reason why Yitzchak chose to give him the bracha is because he felt that there was still hope. In other words, the fact that he was a Bechor in and of itself would not have been enough. That would not be a good enough reason to give him the brachas. However, the next part of the Or HaChaim is what's key. V'tam Yitzchak shehoyo chofetz levorach Esav harasha. The reason why Yitzchak chose to bless Esav harasha, knowing that he was a Rasha, according to the Or HaChaim, he knew that he was a Rasha, but nevertheless he chose to give him a bracha. Ki chashav, because he thought, she'b'emtzos habrachas, as a result of giving him the brachas, as a result of reaching out and giving him something special, yishapech l'midas hatov, that it will help turn Esav around. So he had a rebellious child, he had a child that was not going in the path of his forefathers, and he could have just sent him away, like Avram sent Yishmael away. But what he tried to do instead is to be makar of him, and was hoping that by reaching out and giving him the brachas, that goodwill would help to bring Esav around and turn him around. Yishapech l'midas hatov would turn him around to good. V'yativ drachav, and that would, over time, cause Esav to change. Ki etzadikim, listen to these words, the righteous, yich'avu, it is painful for them, ba'asos b'neihem resha, when their children do things that are not right, that are wrong. Vayimishtadel imoy lehetiv, and therefore he tried as much as he could to be makar of him, as opposed to send him away. Ve'efsher shehoyamoyel, and in Yitzchak's mind, he was hopeful of the possibility that this would help turn him around. So taking the Or HaChaim in totality, Or HaChaim is saying that he chose to give the brachas to Esav because he was the Bechor. But knowing that Esav was a Rasha, unless Yitzchak felt that there was any hope that Esav would not continue to be a Rasha, he would not have given him the brachas. But because he was the Bechor, because Yitzchak held out for the possibility and felt that there was a possibility that he could turn around, and he believed in Esav, therefore, he chose to give him the brachas. And to prove this, that there was a possibility that Esav could turn around, he quotes the famous Chazal that Yaakov Avinu was punished for hiding Dina from Esav, because he didn't want Esav to see Dina, because Dina would have had, or potentially could have had, the ability to turn him around. So you see, in Chazal, you see this idea that that Esav was... there was a possibility that he could turn around, and Yitzchak was hopeful of that, and that's why he gave him the brachas. So this is a very important lesson, by the way. You know, we talked today about teens at risk and how to deal with it, and you see how Yitzchak dealt with it. You know, Yitzchak basically chose to, rather than reject the child, to try and win him over, to try and be makar of him, to try and accept him for what he is. And by being nice to him and going out of his way to be nice to him, was hopeful that that would help turn him around. It didn't work, but this was his approach. This is what Yitzchak chose to do. So we have two ways so far in understanding what Yitzchak did. One is he could have been that he was just taken in by Esav, and it's possible to go through the parsha and learn it that way. But I think it's a rather simplistic way of looking at it, and it doesn't fit in so well into the psukim. I mean, clearly the Torah says, without all the midrashim that Rashi tends to quote, the Torah says, "Vatihi moras ruach liYitzchak ulRivka," that from the wives of Esav there was a tremendous amount of agmas nefesh to Yitzchak and Rivka. So, without any of the midrashim that we quoted from Rashi, the Torah says clearly that both Yitzchak and Rivka were not happy with Esav's choice of wives. Now, you could say maybe they weren't happy with the wives, but they were still happy with Esav. But again, Pashit, if you learn the psukim, it would seem that Yitzchak had to have known. So therefore, the approach of Or HaChaim, the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, is a very interesting one and fits in very well into the parsha as well. Then, there is a third pshat. We're still trying to deal with the approaches that are more tied to pshat. As we go further into the different approaches, we're gonna talk about some deeper meanings to what happened here, because every parsha in the Torah, especially the ones that are listed in Sefer Bereishis, definitely have a deeper meaning than what you see at face value, superficially. But the third approach is the approach of the Malbim. The Malbim, as we know, wrote his commentary on the Tanakh in the late 1800s, and he very much focused on pshat, and he wrote his Pirish very much as a response to the reform movement that was prevalent in his time, and he wrote a commentary on Tanakh in order to explain the Torah alpi pshat. Of course, he mixes in Chazal as well, but his approach is also very much alpi pshat. Now, I copied the Malbim for you. I'm not going to go through it inside, although I might just refer to you. It's in the back. After all the psukim that are listed, the last few pages, you'll see the Malbim. The Malbim it says on top, HaTorah v'HaMitzvah. That's the commentary of the Malbim. It's 5 pages. Yeah, 4 and 5 pages from the back. So I'll just tell you what he says outside, and then maybe we'll look at it a little bit inside, but I don't want to get caught up with the text. I just copied it here for you so you can look at it at your leisure. The Malbim says something very interesting. He says that the world was created for those few individuals that devote themselves to the service of Hashem and raise themselves to a very spiritual and holy level. And the rest of the world is just there to support those individuals. And so therefore the nations of the world are there to support Klal Yisrael. And even within Klal Yisrael, the majority of the nation is there to support those that dedicate themselves solely to Avodas Hashem. And he says basically that was the concept of Shevet Levi. When Yaakov Avinu had the 12 Shvatim, says Shevet Levi was dedicated to serving Hashem. That is where the Kohanim come from, Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi did not have any land or chelak in Eretz Yisrael because they were supported by the rest of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael would have to give them Meiser, and that's how they supported them. So Hashem created a system, or Yaakov Avinu created a system, where the majority of Klal Yisrael supported the B'nai Levi, and the B'nai Levi dedicated themselves strictly and solely to Avodas Hashem. So the Malbim suggests here that Yitzchak Avinu realized that Esav was not going to be the one who's dedicating himself solely to the service of Hashem. It definitely wasn't Esav. he did see that in Yaakov. Yaakov was the Ish Tam Yoshev Aholim. Yaakov was the one who dedicated himself to studying and learning and was not a man of the world. He was a man dedicated to serving Hashem. And he realized that if Esav continued on his path, that he would not have any connection to any of the brachos. And so he decided, I'm going to save both of my children, because Esav was at risk of not having any connection to spirituality. Yaakov was at risk of not having anybody to provide for him. Like the whole system with the 12 Shvatim is the other 11 Shvatim supported Shevet Levi. If Yaakov was going to be Ishtam Yoshev Aholim, who was going to provide for him? Plus, who was going to protect him in terms of going out to battle? If there were wars to protect Yaakov, who was going to protect him? So therefore, the system that Yitzchak thought of was that Yaakov and Esav would be partners and support one another. Yaakov focusing on dedicating himself 100% totally to spirituality, and Esav would have a chelik in that by supporting him, by providing for him, by protecting him. And that was the idea behind Esav getting the brachas, because the brachas were all material brachas, if you look at the psukim. Because since Esav was going to be the one to provide for Yaakov, the same way Levi was provided for by the rest of Klal Yisrael, so he gave the brachas to Esav. Now, this also sounds similar to what we know of as the Yisachar-Zvulun relationship. Sometimes you have a partnership where a person, the Zvulun, will support the Yisachar to learn. Same concept, but over here it was much broader than that. Esav was dedicated clearly to materialism, but Yitzchak wanted him to be connected to Klal Yisrael, whereas Yaakov was completely spiritual and needed somebody to look out for him and protect him. And so that's what Yitzchak was thinking of when he decided to give the brachas to Esav. If you would like, on the second page of the Malbim, without going through the whole thing, I checked off a section that I think is key. In the middle of that line where you see the check, it says, Va'achar sharo v'heven ezo. Since he realized what Esav was and what Yaakov was and the risks of both of them, Hayadoig ba'at shnei bonav. He was worried about both of his children and their future and their success. Imbat Esav. He was worried about Esav Shira, because he saw Shayidei Rishasai Nitcha Meha Bechorah. Because of his wickedness, he would have no connection, would not be worthy of the Bechorah, Umi Birchas Avram, and of any of the blessings that Hashem gave on to Avram. V'yeh K'mishpachas Adama, and he will be like all the other nations, and have no connection to spirituality and Avodas Hashem. V'im Bad Yaakov, he was also concerned about Yaakov, Acha Shekol Zera Yaakov, Yeh Mufrash, L'avodas Hashem, since all the children of Yaakov would be segregated strictly for Avodas Hashem, Yefsher she'yisasku b'avodas hadamu v'nyonim artzim. He would not be involved in the worldly material things that are needed to support. Ki'asakim ke'ele yashbiso asam avodas Hashem, because those things are contrary to dedicating oneself to solely serving Hashem. So therefore, the idea was to have a partnership between Esav and Esav and Yaakov. Obviously, that partnership was not meant to be. And Rivka knew that. And that's why Rivka realized, and some of the commentaries point out, Rivka grew up in the house of Lavan and Besuel. So she was able to tell people for what they really were. And she was not taken in at all by Esav. And she knew that Esav would never be a true partner and supporter of Yaakov, and therefore she knew it would not work. And so therefore, if it would not work, then how would Yaakov be supported? The only way for Yaakov to be supported in his service of Hashem is to get the brachas himself. And that's why she realized that this partnership wouldn't work, and she went against Yitzchak's idea and presented the brachas for Yaakov. So that's the third approach, the approach of the Malbim. I think these are the approaches basically that follow close to pshat, which is what we always try and stick to when we learn the parsha. But the Mefarshim point out that many of these incidents have a much deeper meaning, and this is no exception. As a matter of fact, is a Sefer Tzror Hamor, which is written by a 15th century, I guess you would call him maybe a Rishon, at the end of the Rishonim, very well known. He was, I think, related to the Beis Yosef. He was from the Megurashe Portugal. He was expelled from Portugal. And he wrote a commentary on the Torah that it's a blend of Pshat and Sod. And what's interesting is, he says, in this week's Parsha, he says on Vayav Yitzchak es Esav, he says, the love that Yitzchak had for Esav is akasha b'li tirutz. He says it's a question without an answer. In other words, it's very difficult to understand, and it doesn't make sense that Yitzchak would love Esav. Yitzchak, we know, was one of the Avos. Yitzchak was a Navi. It's hard to understand how Yitzchak could not know who Esav really was, and knowing what Esav really was, how could someone like Yitzchak on such a high level love Esav? Now, we've gone through a couple of explanations, right? We said the Or HaChaim, we said the Malbim, but the other commentaries say that there's something else going on over here. As a matter of fact, the Zohar asked the question of why, he asked the question a little differently, which is something we haven't focused on, and that's why the Balei HaPshat are difficult for the following reason. Hashem obviously orchestrated it so that Yitzchak should not know that the brachos belong to Yaakov. Rivka did know that. Rivka did know that the brachos should go to Yaakov, but Yitzchak did not know that. Now, we mentioned earlier that Rivka had the nevuah in the beginning when she went to the Beis Medrash of Shem. She had a nevuah that she received through Shem that Virav Yavot Soyer, that the eldest one will serve the youngest one. And she did not give that nevuah over to Yitzchak, obviously, because if Yitzchak had known that, Yitzchak would not have blessed Esav in the first place. So for some reason, Rivka had that nevuah, and Yitzchak, who was a much higher level of nevuah, had a much higher level of nevuah, did not know about it. So obviously Hashem concealed it from him. There must have been a reason. Why did Hashem conceal who Esav really was from Yitzchak? And more importantly, why did Hashem conceal the nevuah of a Rav Yavot Soyer, that the eldest is supposed to serve the youngest, from Yitzchak, so that Yitzchak went ahead wanting to bless Esav? Why did it have to happen this way? So if Hashem concealed it from Yitzchak, there must be a reason for it. So that whole discussion we had till now of, you know, why Yitzchak loved Esav, and did he know or didn't he know, that's all very good and fine. It still doesn't answer why did Hashem orchestrate it so that the bracha should come about in such a way that Yitzchak should not know about the nevuah, it was clearly concealed from him, and that Yitzchak should give the brachas to Yaakov dressed as Esav. Why did it have to come about that way? There must be a deeper meaning. So, one of the Mefarshim, actually the Zohar himself says that Hashem wanted the brachas to come to Yaakov not through the das of Yitzchak. That it shouldn't come through Yitzchak. It shouldn't come through the intentional giving of the brachas of Yitzchak. So it appears from the Zohar, and we don't know why, it doesn't really expand on it, it appears that it was intentional that Yitzchak should give the brachas to Yaakov, not realizing that it was Yaakov, thinking that it was Esav. What could possibly be the reason for that? So I came across a sefer that his sefer is Imre Chayin, and in the Hagdama, he builds a concept based on this question, and he shows it how it applies in a lot of different areas, but we're only going to apply it to our particular focus here. And he says that basically Hashem wanted the brachos that Yitzchak was going to give to Yaakov, who represented the future of Klal Yisrael, he wanted those brachos to stick even if Klal Yisrael does not stay on the same spiritual level as Yaakov. Even if throughout the generations and throughout the exiles, the Madrega of Klal Yisrael does not stay at that high level, that they will still get the brachas. Because if the brachas were given directly to Yaakov, knowing that it's Yaakov, knowing that it's the tzaddik, Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ahalim, So then maybe those brachas would only be effective as long as Klal Yisrael stays on the level of Yaakov, as long as they're able to maintain that spiritual level. However, if they don't maintain that spiritual level, then they won't be worthy of the brachas. However, when Yitzchak gives the brachas, thinking it's Esav, thinking that he's giving the brachas to someone who is at the level of an Esav, and he's giving the brachas to Yaakov, but thinking that he's Esav, so then the brachos will stay with Klal Yisrael, even if Chas v'Shalom, they don't stay at the level of Yaakov, and even if they go down a level, or a lot of levels, even as close as Esav. And he uses the same concept, by the way, to explain. We learn out, actually in this week's parasha as well, that Esav took a wife called Machlas. The Gemara learns out that she was called Machlas, it wasn't her real name, but we learn from here that a chassan, at the day of his wedding, mochlin lo al kol avonosav, he's forgiven all of his sins. We learn that out from who? From Esav. Now, it's strange that we learn that out from Esav. Why don't we learn it out from any one of the other great personalities in the Torah? Why do we learn it out from Esav? So you see from here that even a chassan that's an Esav, even somebody like that, mochlin lo kol avonosav, at the day of their wedding, they start with a clean slate. So that's why we learn it out from Esav and not from Yitzchak or Yaakov or Avram. So he says the same idea over here. It was intentional, it was min hashemayim. Hashem wanted it to be orchestrated this way, that the brachas should come through Yitzchak to Yaakov, but not realizing, Yitzchak not realizing that he was giving it to Yaakov, thinking that he was giving it to Esav. Now, there's a difficulty in this approach. I'm not going to go into it, but I'll just point out that how do the brachas work, not just with this approach, in general, how do brachas work if you think you're giving it to one person and you're really giving it to somebody else? Obviously, when Yitzchak gave the brachas, he had in mind that he was giving it to Esav. Or we assume he had in mind he was giving it to Esav. So how do the brachas, how are they effective now that it turns out it wasn't Esav, it was Yaakov? Unless, to get out of this issue, you just simply say that Yitzchak was suspect. As we know, he said, come close and let me touch you, because there were some things that were contradictory here. So Yitzchak was suspect. So maybe when he gave the brachas knowing that it's possible it could be either one. And whatever Hashem wants, that's who I'm going to give the brachas to. So it could be that that would be the approach to take, because otherwise it's difficult to understand how you can give brachas to one person thinking it's somebody, and it turns out it's somebody else, and yet the brachas stay. So that's another pshat, another approach, that this was all min hashamayim, and Hashem wanted it to come out this way, in order that the brachas should be chal throughout the generations, and Klal Yisrael should be worthy of the brachas, even if they don't stay at the same spiritual level as Yaakov Avinu. Another approach that the Mefarshim say, and I have here a copy of the Or Gedaliyahu, which is three pages from the back. The Or Gedaliyahu is from Rav Gedalia Shor, Zatzal, Rosh Hashiva, and Tar Vadas. And he says, the reason why Yitzchak loved Esav, and the reason why Yitzchak chose to give him the brachas, if you look at the first underlined section, he says, Chazal say, I assume this is a Gemara or a Zohar, D'chol zina rochem le lezina, pirish, in Hebrew, kol min ohevis mino, each type sticks to its own kind and likes people that are similar to them. Yitzchak humidas hagvura. Basically, he says, the reason why Yitzchak took a liking to Esav is because we know that in the different midos that the Ovis represented, Yitzchak represented the midah of Gvura. Gvura means to conquer. Gvura comes from the midas of din, of strict judgment. And so therefore, his avoda, or his approach to serving Hashem, was through Gvura, through din. He looked at his two children, and he saw Yaakov, who was very spiritual, as we pointed out. Yaakov was not involved in worldly matters. Then he looked at his son Esav, and he saw Esav was very much involved in worldly matters. So who has the challenge of serving Hashem by conquering, by being, what does the Mishnah Pirkei Avos say? Ezo gibor, right? Yitzchak went with gevura. Who is a gibor? How do we define a gibor? Hakovish es yitzro, somebody that is able to conquer and overpower his evil inclination. That avoda of kovish es yitzro, he didn't see in Yaakov. Yaakov was ishtam yoshev aholim. He was very spiritual. Where did he see that avoda of gevura, of conquering? He saw that in Yitzchak. So therefore, he felt that Yitzchak could use these brachas. Yaakov didn't need them. He realized that that Esav was going on the wrong path. But he also realized that Esav's mission was very similar to his mission, and that he needed to conquer the evil. And that's what he says here. V'chashav Yitzchak, on the top of the second column. He thought that Esav's avoda was similar to his in Gvura. That he has to overpower and overcome the evil within him. And to do battle with the evil. And to conquer it. And therefore, Vayev Yitzchak es Esav. He saw this spark. As we said before. And then, further down, he expands on this concept with a Ramban. The Ramban says, Shekol inyan ha-bracha, kol inyan shel bracha, shematzina b'torah, all the brachas that we have listed in the Torah are for one purpose and one purpose alone. Not that we should have, we should live it up, and we should have the most enjoyment that we can out of Olam Hazeh, but rather that a person should have brachos in order to allow him to focus on serving Hashem better. Hu inyan shel siyua, the brachos are meant to be a help, as an assistance. Shetnai hachayim yiyu ba'ofen sheyinoch la'adam la'avodasbora, that it should be easier to focus on doing mitzvos and serving Hashem. So therefore, Yitzchak wanted that these brachas that should be an assistance to helping in service of Hashem should be given to the one who needed it. And Esav needed it. Yaakov didn't need it. Yitzchak ordered that he should be able to do his avoda. And he thought that Yaakov didn't need it. Yaakov dovuk beitz achayim. Yaakov didn't have this mixture of tov v'ra, like the Eitz Hadas tov v'ra. Yaakov was, as he puts it, dovuk be'etz achayim. He was tied to the tree of life. He was attached to the Torah. V'shem hu mekor ha-bracha, and that is the source of all bracha. V'ein lo shaychos l'melcham imara klal, and he had no connection with conquering evil because he didn't have that challenge. U'memela ein shum tzorach lo l'bracha v'lo l'siyua. And therefore, Yaakov didn't need the bracha, and he did not need the assistance because he was such a high spiritual level. So you see from here, and this concept, by the way, is expanded on in the next piece with the Maharal, but you see an approach that Yitzchak liked Esav because he saw himself in Esav. He saw the challenges that Esav had, very similar to his avoda. And the Maharal, without going into it inside, Maharal basically points out that to address the question of Yitzchak was curious about Yaakov when he mentioned Hashem's name, because as Rashi points out, Esav was not in the habit of mentioning Hashem's name. Now, wouldn't that have been a clue? Right? Obviously, it was a clue, and Yitzchak was suspect, but he wasn't taken in by it. It wasn't convincing enough. The fact that Yaakov mentions Hashem's name, it wasn't convincing enough that it wasn't Esav. So how did Yitzchak understand Esav, and being that Esav never mentioned Hashem's name? So the Maharal says that because Yitzchak's service of Hashem was through yira, fear, somebody who serves Hashem through fear is very fearful of using Hashem's name just regularly. They're afraid of using Hashem's name in vain. Someone who serves Hashem from the midah of ahava, of love, is always mentioning Hashem's name. So the fact that Esav did not mention Hashem's name, he just figured it's not a negative on Esav, If anything, it's just further proof that his avoda, his service, is from the same source, the same midah as Yitzchak's, through Yira, through Gvura. And since he operates through Yira, he's very hesitant to mention Hashem's name, not because he doesn't believe in Hashem, but he's fearful of just mentioning Hashem's name on a regular basis. So what the Or Gadol Yoh says, and basically what similar the Maral says and others say, is that the reason why Yitzchak decided to give the brachas to Esav is because he saw in Esav, he saw his avoda, he saw his midah, and he felt that Esav needed it more than Yaakov. Yaakov didn't need it. Yaakov was already very spiritual. Yaakov did not have the battles of dealing with the kovishas yitzra, of dealing with overpowering the negative, the bad. He didn't have it within him. He was naturally had a tendency, as we see when Rivka was pregnant, that he wanted to go straight to the Beis Medrash even before he was born. So he had that tendency. And therefore, Yitzchak didn't feel that Yaakov needed the brachas. I want to suggest another possibility. Didn't see this anywhere, but it's something that I think fits into a theme that's mentioned in some of the Sfarim. We know that Yitzchak represents Din. And we know that Rivka, what is the midah that Eliezer looked for in a shidduch for Yitzchak? And what is the midah that was prevalent in Yitzchak's house by Avraham? Chesed. And the test that Eliezer used to choose a shidduch for Yitzchak was chesed, to see if she would do kindness and provide to drink to both himself and the camels. And the reason why chesed was so important is because in order for Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael was going to be built through the Avos and Imos, in order for them to have a continuation just through din is very, very risky. It would not have a continuation. It would have to be a mix of din on the one hand and chesed and rachmim on the other hand. So that's why it was so important that the shidduch of Yitzchak have chesed, have that midah. And so therefore the brachas, if you follow that logic, the brachas to Klal Yisrael also was orchestrated that it should come with Rivka having a hand in the brachas, because Rivka represented chesed. If the brachas would just come straight from Yitzchak, then it would come through din. And if it would come through din, then we may not always be worthy to keep those brachas. But by Rivka having a hand in us receiving the brachas, because she's the one that told Yaakov to get dressed up as Esav and go get the brachas, that blended the midas ha-chesed into the brachas. And so therefore, Klal Yisrael will have a continuation and be worthy of having these brachas with the chesed mixed in. We're approaching the end. I just wanted to recap, because we covered a lot of different approaches. Just to recap, the question of why Yitzchak chose Esav to give the brachas to and not Yaakov. First thing we addressed is, did Yitzchak really know who Esav was? If you go through the parsha, while it's possible to explain that he didn't realize the extent of Esav's rishus, he clearly knew, as the Sfarna points out, it would seem that he clearly knew that Esav was not at the same level as Yaakov Avinu. So that begs the question, why did he choose to give him the brachas? So we mentioned that A, he was the Bechor, and B, you can have the approach of the Or HaChaim, that he was hoping that this would help turn him around. This would be Mekariv him. We have the approach of the Malbim, that he realized Esav's limitations, and he realized Yaakov's limitations, and he thought that the two of them could make the ideal partnership if they supported one another. Rivka realized that this was not going to happen, and therefore she had Yaakov go in and get the brachas for himself. Then we have the approach of the Kabbalah approach of the Zohar, that Hashem had orchestrated it this way so that Klal Yisrael should be worthy of the brachos even when they are not maintaining the same spiritual level of Yaakov, even when they are behaving at a much lower level than Yaakov. We also mentioned the approach of the Maharal and the Or Gadol Yoh, that Yitzchak saw in Esav his own midah. He saw himself in Esav, and he realized that Esav's challenge was very similar to his challenge, but that Esav needed to overcome. and he gave him the brachas as an assistance, as a support to help him overcome. And he felt that Esav needed that support and that chizuk, whereas Yaakov didn't need it. And for all these reasons, we have, I think, a little bit of a deeper understanding into the perplexing issue of why Yitzchak chose Esav over Yaakov. Thank you very much.